Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pita Pratadda Putraste Tadvibhand Vijavatsala Svamayar Dvija Langebhyo Devebhyo Dai Sayachita Bhavan Acharitan Dharman Astita Grihamedibi Bhammanai Prabhajai Saraya Anyashchuddama Kritibi Tasmat Vatoma Him Ishad Vinayang Varadarshabhat Padanitani Dajendra Samitani Padamama Nanyate Kamaye Rajan Padanyan Jagadishvarat Naina Prabnoti Vai Vidvan Yavadarta Pratigraha. Text 14. Your father, Virochana, the son of Maharaj Prahlad, was very affectionate towards Brahmins. Although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of Brahmins, at their request he delivered to them the duration of his life. Purpur. Maharaj Virochana, Bali's father, was so pleased with the Brahmin community that even though he knew that those approaching him for charity were the demigods in the dress of Brahmanas, he nonetheless agreed to give it. Text 15. You have also observed the principles followed by great personalities who are householder Brahmanas, by your forefathers, and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities. Text 16. O King of the Daityas, from your majesty, who come from such a noble family and who are able to give charity munificently, I ask only 3 paces of land to the measurement of my steps. Purpur. Lord Vamanadeva wanted 3 paces of land according to the measurement of his footsteps. He did not want more than necessary, but although he pretended to be an ordinary human child, he actually wanted the land comprising the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. This was just to show the prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 17. O King, controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahman takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. Purpur. A Brahmana or sannyasi is qualified to ask charity from others, but if he takes more than necessary, he is punishable. No one can use more of the Supreme Lord's property than necessary. Lord Vamanadeva indirectly indicated to Bali Maharaj that he was occupying more land than he needed. In the material world, all distresses are due to extravagance. One acquires money extravagantly and also spends it extravagantly. Such activities are sinful. All property belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all living beings who are the sons of the Supreme Lord have the right to use the Supreme Father's property, but one cannot take more than necessary. This principle should be especially followed by Brahmins and sannyasis who live at the cost of others. Thus, Vamanadeva was an ideal beggar, for he asked only 3 paces of land. Of course, there is a difference between his footsteps and those of an ordinary human being. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable prowess, can occupy the entire universe, including the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems, by the unlimited measurement of his footsteps. Vandeham. Sri Guru, Sri Jata Bada Kamala, Sri Guru Vaishnava. Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatanvita Tamsajiva Sadvaita Savaduta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Ramyagate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarvinam. So, our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he's very kindly reminding us not to be extravagant. Of course, one can spend millions and billions of dollars for Krishna. Just like our Mayapur temple, how many millions of dollars? Is that extravagance? No. Extravagance means even one penny spent for your sense gratification. That is extravagance. So we have to utilize everything in the service of the Lord. Why? Because everything is the property of the Lord. That is stated in the Sri Upanishad. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept only those things necessary for himself, which is set aside as his quota, knowing well to whom everything belongs. This is the big problem we have in our modern day society. Everyone thinks, this is mine. I, me, and mine, it will make you feel real fine. That's the modern day slogan, I, me, and mine. Me and a little kid was sharing my room with my brother Bob. And there was an imaginary line down in the middle of the room. And my territory and your territory. You weren't allowed to step over the line. I was allowed to step over the line to go in and out of the room, but I couldn't be on his side of the room other than going in and out of the room. It was like, mine. Even two little boys sharing a bedroom, my part of the room. You're not welcome in my part of the room because it's my part of the room. So we laugh about it, but the same thing is going on by the adults as well. It's called nations. Where's your passport? Ruff, 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 like barking dogs. Let me see your visa. Is that a proper visa? Oh. You see? Krishna is the actual owner of everything. It's actually only one nation that is Krishna's nation. You see? So we want to bring back this God-centered conception. Krishna is the owner. Bhaktaram dakatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gatvamam shamdamritshati. Krishna says, one who knows me as the supreme owner, the supreme enjoyer, and the best friend, suhridam sarvabhutanam, he and he only can have peace. This is Krishna's peace formula. We want to educate the entire world in this peace formula, that everyone can understand who is the actual owner, who is the enjoyer, therefore, is he? And he's the best friend also. That's a pretty good deal. The person who owns everything happens to be your best friend. Wow. It's like having, you know, a multi-billionaire as your best friend. You see? So it's actually a pretty good deal. That person who owns everything is your best friend. That means you have no problems. But if you cut yourself off from your best friend, then you're in difficulty. This is what we've done in the modern day society. We've cut ourselves off from our best friend. Now, is that stupid or is that stupid or is that stupid? Well, it's pretty damn stupid what we've done, you see. We've cut ourselves off from our best friend, trying to enjoy separately from him, you see. But by the grace of great enlightened spiritual masters like His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, we can get some understanding that actually, Niramama, nothing is mine. The only thing I possess is the false misconception that I own anything. You see, that's the only thing I really possess. Ahankar. So let me kick out ahankar. Get out of here, Mr. False Pride, Mr. False Ego. Get out of my heart. Get out and don't you ever come back again. You see? From now on, I must see that everything is the property of Krishna. This body belongs to Krishna. My mind belongs to Krishna. My intelligence belongs to Krishna. My actual spiritual being belongs to Krishna. Everything is the property of Krishna. And therefore, everything must be used for Krishna's purpose 24/7. This is called Krishna consciousness. And we have a society called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to bring us back to this understanding, you see. To bring us and the whole world back to this understanding. Prabhupada's vision was not just some religious movement. His vision was the whole world become Krishna conscious. You know what he told us? He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Wow. That's Prabhupada's order. Become guru and deliver the whole world. Pretty big assignment. Well, how much have we delivered so far? What is the percentage of the world population who are purely following Prabhupada's teachings? It's a very, 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 very tiny percent, you see. This is why our book distribution is so important. This is why our Harinam Sankirtan is so important, why Prasadam distribution is so important. By preaching, 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 and being the ideal example of what we're talking about is so absolutely important, because our duty is to bring the whole world to this consciousness. If we want to give Krishna, which is our duty, we have to have Krishna. These two things go hand in hand. The more you're Krishna conscious, the more you can spread Krishna consciousness. And the more you spread Krishna consciousness, the more you have Krishna consciousness. They feed into each other very beautifully. There's a wonderful prayer in this connection. We sing it every day. Bahir nasinga, hridaye nasinga. Bahir nasinga, hridaye nasinga. Very, very nice prayer. Prabhupada gives a very interesting translation to this prayer. May Lord Nrisimhadev dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities. so that my mind becomes completely clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. Do you know you're praying that way every day? You're praying to be a pure devotee, and you're praying that you can make the whole world Krishna conscious just by seeing it, by hearing the singing, hearing the singing. We're praying that Lord Nrisimhadeva would completely occupy my heart, and his Krishna consciousness movement completely inundate the whole world. Every day we're praying for them. Nrisimha within, Nrisimha without. Everything Krishnaized, the whole world Krishnaized. So this Krishnaization process is very simple. You simply have to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Read the books, live the books, distribute the books, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Take prasadam. Such a nice lifestyle. So wonderful. Just amazing how this movement is actually spreading. I still remember joining back in 1971, this little tiny movement then. Compared, of course, even tinier back in 66. I first met the devotees in 68, but I wasn't intelligent enough to join yet. Met them in 68 in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, coming back from Hippie Hill with their Harinam Sankirtan. But by Krishna's grace, His Holiness Vishnu Jana Swami was ordered to open 10 centers by Srila Prabhupada. He opened the Houston Center, and then number two was Austin, Texas. So by His kindness and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I got this opportunity to actually get out of Maya, to get out of this material consciousness of thinking I'm the proprietor, and actually come to this position, serving Krishna, taking up my original constitutional position, Jivara Svarupa Hoy, Krishnara Nichadas. Each one of us has been blessed by some devotee who preached to us. We're all very fortunate souls here in this room today. And those who are tuned into the internet, we're all most fortunate souls. Now we have to fully cash in on that good fortune by taking up pure bhakti as our only business. It's not that just by joining this movement and getting initiated and chanting your rounds, you're going to necessarily go back to Godhead. Prabhupada, as I was reading this morning, if you don't complete the process of developing pure love, then you take birth again to continue. So we should endeavor to make this our last lifetime, to very seriously take up the process, you see. Not to be quasi-Krishna conscious or semi-Krishna conscious, you see. To be pure devotees of Krishna, you see. As Prabhupada wrote me in one letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. See, that's the standard of pure devotion. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadai vrhidayeshu valokayanti Yang Shama Shundaramachant Yogana Svarupam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna Himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. That's the level we have to come to. Be able to be qualified to see Krishna within and without. Of course, the verse says within, but Prabhupada says they not only see Krishna within, they see Him without also. So all you have to do is anoint your eyes with premanjana. That's all. Where can we get that premanjana? The ointment of love of God, you see. Now normally if you want an ointment, you go, you know, you have some eye problem, you go down to the pharmacy, right? Get some ointment, maybe a doctor prescribes you some ointment, you go down there and you put it in your eyes, you see. Where do we get this ointment from? Premanjana. Where's the pharmacy that dispenses premanjana? Well, what was Prabhupada before he started ISKCON? A pharmacist. So actually, Prabhupada is still a pharmacist. But he gave up all those other drugs, and now only one drug he is giving, that's Premanjana. The Prabhupada pharmacy is called ISKCON. And he is giving one medicine called Premanjana, you see, the ointment of love of God, you see. So how do you apply this ointment of love of God? Take a little squeeze bottle, little droppers put in your eyes? No. This is a very mystical ointment. This ointment is applied through the ears. Can you imagine an eye ointment applied through the ears? Yes. This Premanjana, you put it in your ear, you know. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You chant not for some material desire of Krishna, I'm a brahmacharya, I want to get a wife, or I'm a brahmacharini, I want to get a husband, or I want to give me a new job. No, we don't chant Hare Krishna for any material purpose. We chant Hare Krishna for one purpose only, and that is to awaken pure love within my heart. My dear Lord, please bless me now that I can be totally, absolutely absorbed in purely serving and loving you with my every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances from now on for all of eternity. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we chant in that mood, of begging Krishna for pure devotional service, sincerely begging him, nothing else, my Lord, now except for pure devotional service, kick out everything. Lust kicked out, anger kicked out, greed, madness, illusion, envy, kick it out with boot. Get it out now and let it stay out forever. You see? If we chant Hare Krishna in that mood, then the mystical process of purification of consciousness, purification of vision, purification of all the senses gradually manifests, you see. Where someday we can actually come to that position where we can see Krishna, you see. Someday we will come to that position. So, we have to be patient. It's one of the qualities. Be patient. Takes time. We've been caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions and billions of lifetimes. This false ego, the tendency to lord it over, the tendency to be proud of ourselves, thinking, I am great. These tendencies are very deeply, deeply ingrained in our hearts. Very deeply ingrained, you see. To overcome them takes time. The healing process takes time, so we have to be patient. It also depends on how contaminated we are. Some of us are more contaminated, some of us are less contaminated, but all of us are contaminated to a greater or lesser extent. So that awakening process does take time, but if you follow the process as it is, chanting those rounds faithfully every day, at least 16 rounds, giving up illicit sex, meeting intoxication, gambling. You see, if you sincerely follow the system given by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, it's guaranteed you will achieve the result in due course of time. You see. But the beauty of this process is, even in the beginning, it's absolutely ecstatic. Even before achieving the perfectional stage, even the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, it's ecstatic. Because now I'm getting out of here. I've been suffering in this cycle of birth and death, going through so much hell in this lifetime and previous lifetimes, and now I'm being released. It's like a prisoner, you see. He's been in prison for a long time. And they come and say, well, today you're being released from prison. He's still in his cell. But they just told him, today you're being released from the prison. He's absolutely ecstatic, even though he's still in the cell. That you're being released today. You start to unlock the door, but he's still in the cell. But he knows he's being released, so he's become ecstatic. So So therefore we can sing and dance in great ecstasy, knowing I'm being released, I'm being released. Haribo! I'm being released from this damn place. Getting out of this hell, you see. I'm going to go back and be with Krishna and Radharani and the gopis. I'm going to get back to my original identity I once had in the pastimes of Krishna. I'm going to be back there in an eternal, youthful body that never gets sick, that never gets old, that doesn't have to go to work on Monday morning. I'll just be back there in an eternal, blissful position. So that's coming, you see. You take this process seriously, your going back to Godhead is already happening, you see. But I see so many have come and so many didn't stay. That's a very sad thing. I got initiated with two boys, Pulashyadas and Parashuradas. Where are they? They both love music. I don't know why people leave. Why do people leave? Crazy, yes. Krishnamurti is saying they're crazy. They're nuts. That's a fact. Anybody a complete nut, a crazy fool to give this process up, you see. They didn't have sufficient faith in the process. We can analyze a little deeper. They didn't have sufficient faith in the process. We have to have very, very strong faith. Isn't that where it begins? Shraddha is the first step. You have to have strong faith. That's the whole foundation of this process, you see. How do you have strong faith? By reading these books, by hearing from those who have more faith than me, who have more experience than me, you see. We got faith by sitting at Prabhupada's lotus feet and hearing him speak and associating with those who had done the same thing, you see. The more you hear from Prabhupada and those who are purely preaching on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, the more your faith increases. And then when you apply what you have heard and actually experience the result, then your faith is even more strong, you see. Just like when I was a kid in high school, I was taking chemistry. And the teacher said, students, H2O equals water. So we had faith. The teacher must know what she's talking about. But then she took us down the hall to the laboratory, and we each had a test tube, and we combined, I remember combining in my test tube, two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen, and what appeared in my test tube? Water. Now I really have faith that H2O equals water because I did it in the laboratory, you see. So you hear this, you hear about this process, and then you actually apply it and you taste the results, you see. You taste the results. You rise early in the morning, you take your bath, you come to the Mangal Arti, and you experience something mystical. You take the darshan of Shishi Garnitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Sham Sundar, and you experience something mystical, something otherworldly, something beyond this material existence that deeply touches your heart, is it? So this is how you develop that faith. And to strengthen it even more, what's the next step? Sadhu Sangha. By associating with devotees, therefore we have a therefore, ISKCON is there simply for this purpose, to give us all the opportunity to associate with the devotees, the sadhus, sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha is so important thing. In fact, Krishna explains in the Adi Purana, ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta che janaha. Mad bhakchanam chaye maktas te me bhakta tama mata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee,
he's not my devotee.
What? Krishna says the one who is devotee is his devotee is not his devotee? What does he mean by that? And then he says, the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. Wow. That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? If you want to be a devotee of Krishna, you can only be a devotee of Krishna by being the devotee of the devotee. That's why you have to have a spiritual master. Without a guru, you're a stray dog. You're not accepted as a devotee, you see. You have to become a disciple of the bona fide spiritual master. Well, I'm devoted to my guru, but nobody else. Now, wait a minute. No, we have to be devoted to all the devotees, you see. Nice example of that is our Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. She was initiated Baba Tarini. She's actually Prabhupada's god sister. She's a disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati also. Sister and god sister both. Baba Tarini Devi Dasi, but we called her Pishima, you see. Pishima. She would come to the festivals in Mayapur and all the devotees came. And she was so humble. She would say, "What will you eat? What will you eat?" She just wanted to serve the devotees. And she was so humble that after sitting in one place, she would wash it with water that I have contaminated this spot on the floor by sitting there, you see. You see. So this is devotee, you see. She just wants to serve the devotees, serve the devotees. So not just devotee of my Guru Maharaj, devotee of all the devotees, you see. The more you become the devotee of the devotees, that's the more you become recognized by Krishna. Ah, this one, he's devoted to all of my devotees, therefore he is my real devotee, you see. So in this way, by having faith in the process, by being very, very, very eager to serve the Vaishnavas in every situation. Bow down to the Vaishnavas, serve the Vaishnavas, you see. Then we can actually enter into that mood of bhajana kriya, being fully absorbed in devotional service 24 hours a day, with our every thought, word, and deed. And this is why our lives become very perfect. And we will progress gradually, gradually, gradually to the perfectional stage of prema. And we can become absolutely perfect and empowered like anything to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So I can ask now if there's any challenges or questions. If you feel I have misrepresented Srila Prabhupada, please point out to me my mistake. So you can correct me, chastise me if I made some mistake by presenting something which is not in accordance with Prabhupada's teachings, or if you have any questions, now's your chance. Challenges? Silence. Are you dull? Here we go. Jai. He has a nice sign. How may I help you? You can help me by asking a question.
You are saying you should serve the devotees. You are giving the example of Bhishma, and how she is serving the devotees. So we should serve the devotees, but how can we recognize the devotees?
How to recognize who is a devotee? So I can say, well, one thing is, actually, from one angle of vision, every single living entity is a devotee of Krishna. They've just forgotten him. So our mood is to serve everyone. That's why we want to flood the world with these books. That's our service to the conditioned souls. We give them these books to do the Harinam, to give them prasad. So actually, our agenda is to serve every living entity, especially the humans. You see, that's our agenda, serve all living beings by flooding this world with Krishna consciousness. And those who come to our temples, how can I help you, see? You've shown by your sign, you see, how am I help you? Always in that mood. How can I help you? How can I serve you? You see. Thank you for your nice question. Next.
So that we have to follow some new idea about what is
I have a hearing defect. I'm going to have him tell me what the question is. These new techniques are simply they're an expansion of, just like I'm doing a thing on the internet, which is quite successful. I have 32,000 people signed up for my e-course. So we can use so many things, all the modern technologies, but these are simply expansions of the, actually, there's no substitute for going out and singing and dancing in the streets. That and book distribution are the most powerful weapons. So other things are there, they supplement the most powerful weapons of book distribution and Harinam Sankirtan. We can do everything. We should use all the modern technologies, you see. Everything and anything and everything. Wherever we can introduce Krishna consciousness, we should do it. Take every, be very aggressive to take every single opportunity, you see. That's called intelligence. Our duty is to conquer the world, actually. So we have to conquer it by education and every possible means that we have, the internet, universities, anything, everything we can do to educate the world in Krishna consciousness, we have to do that. Isn't it?
Because the technology is very developed, so that the concept also be changed, that is very well, increasing the value. So, how to love the God, that idea will be changed? This is my question.
What's changing?
Technologies and...
Yeah?
How to love God?
The main thing is you love God by calling out His... By chanting Hare Krishna in the mood of begging Krishna to bless you with love of God, please bless me, I can be engaged in your pure devotional service, and then actually taking the opportunities that come to you. As your spiritual master engages you, as the devotees engage you in devotional service, take it very seriously, sincerely. I must serve in such a way to please my spiritual master, to please the devotees, and to please Krishna. That's the sum and substance. In fact, an interesting point is this that Prabhupada makes in one purport. This pure chanting actually has the power not only to liberate us, but liberate the whole world. Get a load of this amazing quote from Prabhupada. He says, if one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagat Guru, and under his influence, the whole world takes up chanting Hare Krishna. So the foundation of our preaching is actually our own purity. The more that we are pure, the more we'll automatically be empowered to transform world history. So we should cultivate purity as the most essential thing at every minute. I must bring my mind to Krishna, bring it back. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalamastara tatam datav niyagyatat atmamyagyivishangayab. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. The most important ingredient for distributing Krishna consciousness is our own cultivation of Krishna consciousness, pure devotion, you see. Because the more you do that, it will have an automatic impact on the whole global consciousness, according to Prabhupada's purport. If you purely chant Hare Krishna, it impacts not only you, but it impacts the whole world. So the more devotees are purely chanting, the more the world atmosphere will change. That's a fact. Anything else? Yes. Microphone back to the Maharaji.
How do you pick up the anarthas from the heart to come to
the pure
chanting stage?
How to pick up the anarthas
from
the heart?
The way to get the anarthas out of the heart, there's a nice example, Jamunacharya Albandru of South India. He's given a very nice sloka regarding how to get the anarthas out of the heart. Yadavati mamma chaita
Krishna Badara Vinde Nava Nava Rasadamanyutra Ramtumasit Tadabadi Bhattanari Sangame Smaryamane Bhavati Mukuna Shtivanamcha.
This Jamunacharya Albandru, previously he was a king. And in those days, in the old days in India, king means big harem, which means full facility for sex pleasure. But now he's become a sadhu. He's given up that kingly sense gratification life. He's become a renounced sadhu. But sometimes those memories would come to him, those anartas. And when he was having sex enjoyment with all those girls, they would come to his brain. And the verse is translated in this way. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, relishing nava nava rasa, ever increasing pleasure in that service, whenever due to my past nefarious lifestyle, my mind becomes disturbed with sex pleasure, my lips curl with distaste, that immediately spit at the thought. So you have to be a good spitter. When your anartas come, kick them out. Kick them out. And an interesting point about that verse by, and Jamunacharya's mood by Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar Devotion is that ecstasy of kicking out anartas is described as ecstatic love in ghastliness. Prabhupada describes ecstatic love in ghastliness. So actually kicking out anartas can be ecstatic love. Because I love Krishna, I'm kicking out all this dirt. You see? Lust, get out. Anger, get out. Greed, get out. Laziness, get out. Craziness, get out. Kick it out, kick it out, kick it out. It's actually ecstatic to kick out all these anartas. So instead of becoming disturbed by the anarta, take it as a great opportunity to show Krishna you really love him. Not that the thought comes, well, I have to go into that thought now. What can I say? I'm a fallen soul. I just have to think about that bad, dirty thought. No. Take it as an opportunity to show Krishna, I really love you, my Lord, and therefore I'm going to kick this damn thing out of my heart right now. Kick it out. You see? So be a good spitter, a good kicker. You see? That's how to deal with anartas. We got 2 minutes left. Yes. I can't make any word. Let me catch up with him.
Is there any benchmark? How much money should you save?
How much? The question is, you should take only your quota. So what is your quota then? Your quota is whatever you can engage in Krishna's service. If you are a powerful enough preacher that you can engage the whole world in Krishna's service, then you can do that. Whatever you can engage in Krishna's service, that is your quota. If it's $1, it's $1. If it's $1 million, it's $1 million. If it's $10 billion, if it's $100 billion, it's $100 billion. According to your ability to engage in Krishna's service, whatever you have, that is your quota, Prabhu. You understand? Yeah. Next. Now the questions are coming as we get near the end. It usually happens. They're a little slow in the beginning, they start picking up. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Papaji, we are supposed to respect and worship our spiritual master like God. Pali Maharaj said, his spiritual master Shukracharya. But he did not accept his order of not giving land to Lord Vamana. So how should we see this in our context? What's the demarcation or what's the limit of where one can disobey his spiritual master? What's the criteria one should follow?
If the guru is bogus, you can disobey him. It's like I had a guru before Prabhupada, but he was a rascal, so I gave him up. He gave me one mantra. Ang, ang, ang. And there was no rules. I could do whatever I wanted to. I could have illicit sex, I could eat meat, I could gamble, I could get intoxicated. As long as I chanted ang, ang, ang for 20 minutes twice a day. But I realized he's bogus. The guru is bogus, you can give him up. You see. The bona fide spiritual master can never be rejected, but the bogus guru you should mainly give up.
But what's the criteria? How can we judge?
By the scriptures.
Scriptures, yes.
Very simple. Who is preaching according to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? He's bona fide guru. Others, no. You know what another guru told me? He said, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. I tried it, but it didn't work. I tried being God, but I couldn't pull it off. So I realized that wasn't true. So you got to follow the bona fide spiritual master who is a living embodiment of the scripture and who preaches strictly according to scripture. You see, that's the criterion. The world right now is full of bogus gurus. It's just filled up, even they talk about bhakti. But it's sahajism. There's so much nonsense going on in the world. We got it. Those who are purely preaching according to Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, they are guru. Others, no. There's one last question. I saw a hand somewhere. I think yes. And this will be the last. Oh, two more, and that'll be it. Because we're over time. These last two, and then everybody can go. How to give up the judgmental attitude? Well, actually, if one is a little advanced in Krishna consciousness, his duty to be judgmental. Because the older devotees are supposed to instruct the younger devotees. So when one becomes a little mature in Krishna, a little bit advanced now, it's their duty to be judgmental in a compassionate way. When they see that somebody is doing something wrong, it's their duty to correct them. So judgmentalism using Krishna's service is wonderful. But if you use it for false egotism, it's horrible. So in Krishna's service, the senior devotee should be able to discriminate. This is correct, this is incorrect. And they have to encourage or correct as necessary. So judgmentalism is necessary in Krishna consciousness movement. It's not wrong to judge whether somebody's doing something correctly or incorrectly. It's the devotee of our senior, a duty of our senior devotees to make such judgments and correct us accordingly. Isn't it? Or is it just all one? Yatama tatapa. Everything's beautiful. Everything's wonderful. You're a pure devotee. You're drinking you're having a beer right now while you're chanting your rounds, and you're beautiful. I don't want to be judgmental. You're smoking a cigarette while you're chanting your Gayatri mantra. I don't want to be judgmental. You're smoking some marijuana here during Mangal Arati, watching. You're taking darshan while you're smoking marijuana, but I don't want to be judgmental. See what I'm saying? We have to discriminate between right and wrong. That's our duty as preachers. A preacher has to judge. It's his duty. Otherwise, how he can preach? Preacher means he has to make judgment what is right and what is wrong. You understand?
I need fault.
The same thing. If somebody is doing something wrong, you should point it out to them. It's our duty, you see. We have to be fault finders in Krishna's service, but not in a one-upmanship, but in a mood of humble service. You understand? Yeah. Now, there's a last question from this Prabhu here. All right, I'm ready.
There are some group of devotees living in NCR citing the seven purpose of ISKCON. Their one purpose is to bring our life more closer to natural and simple. So they used to propagate this idea that we can chant. I can complain only when they are coming to Varnashram. And Varnashram means the primitive way of life.
Let me catch up with it, because I can't make it out. I got to catch up.
The last part can you say?
The last part is only some of devotees are promoting this idea that they can chant attentively, or the devotee way of chanting is possible only if they are coming to the Varnashram. And Varnashram means when we are coming to the primitive way of life.
Okay, let me catch up with them.
There are some devotees in NCR of Delhi that they propagate their pointing out that one of the purposes, seven purposes of this font. They are saying that chanting purely is possible only when we come to Varnashram.
Chanting purely is possible only through Varnashram Dharma? Yes. Or when we transcend Varnashram Dharma? We can only chant purely by going through Varnashram Dharma. That's what they're saying. Or the other argument is we can chant purely only by transcending Varnashram Dharma. It's another argument. So which is true? They're both true. We go through Varnashram Dharma to achieve the pure stage. You see, Varnashram Dharma means engage your propensity, your natural propensity in Krishna's service. That's what it means. If you're a worker, work for Krishna. If you're a farmer and a cow protector, raise cows for Krishna. You see? If you're an administrator, administrate for Krishna. If you're a teacher, teach for Krishna. It's not Varnashram Dharma, it means to engage your propensity in Krishna's service. So that is part of our process automatically. Krishna consciousness. Actually, those who are attracted to transcendental knowledge, they are Brahmins. So ISKCON is actually a society especially of Brahmins. Prabhupada gives us Brahmin initiation. So the question is, do I have a Brahmin initiation to chant the pure name? Would that be the question or not? Where did Prabhupada say that you have to, Prabhupada didn't teach me that way. I was personally trained by Srila Prabhupada. Here's what Prabhupada told me. He said, continue enthusiastically as you are doing and surely Krishna will bless you. He didn't tell me I had to go through I had to go through different varnas and ashrams. He just said, I see you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this movement. So now if you continue enthusiastically as you're doing, sure, Krishna will bless you. Prabhupada told me all I had to do was be enthusiastic about spreading this movement and I would get Krishna's mercy. That's all I got from Prabhupada. My wife has a point. Hand the microphone back here to my wife.
Style of life to become pure devotees and chant pure.
the fourth. All the way to live simply.
Primitive life.
Live back, go out in the country and live in a hut. You can't become a pure devotee. But you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he smashed that idea. Because this is an idea also, it was there in India before Bhaktisiddhanta. To be Krishna conscious, you have to live like a Babaji with a loincloth. Prabhupada, I was just hearing Prabhupada yesterday preaching against this. I said, before Bhaktisiddhanta, that was the idea. To become a pure devotee, you had to imitate Rupa Goswami, living with a loincloth as a Babaji. But Bhaktisiddhanta, he smashed this. He was riding in a Rolls Royce car? Was it Rolls Royce? Yeah, he would ride in a Rolls Royce car. He wanted to smash it. You can live as an aristocratic gentleman, even a wealthy man can live in a palace and become the pure devotee. Bhaktisiddhanta established this principle. Prabhupada said, if it's not for this principle, I could have never brought this to the Western world. So these people are trying to put ISKCON back before Bhaktisiddhanta, Krishna Ganya's movement, back to where it was before Bhaktisiddhanta. Everybody has to live like a Babaji out in the woods somewhere, you know, sleeping under a tree, and that's the only way you can become Krishna conscious. It is absolutely, totally bogus, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Astatarasada Shri Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.